Well, today is Baptism Sunday, and we're going to be welcoming two young people and four babies into the household of faith. And for me, baptism is always a natural time for thinking about new beginnings and new faith. And as we know, that journey can start at any time in life, not just in childhood, but in adulthood. And so I wanted to begin by sharing two different beginning stories, one from a middle-aged man and one from a woman in her 20s. Tony Jordan is actually a well-known TV scriptwriter in Britain. He wrote The EastEnders, and his story begins in 2008 when he was asked to write the script for the BBC drama The Nativity, which was telling the story of Jesus' birth. He wasn't a Christian at the time, but he takes his job very seriously, and so he began a 2-year period of research. And he says that at first he thought it was just the stuff of fairy tales, but as he spent time with the biblical characters and as he put himself in their shoes, he said something started to happen. He describes working supported by rum and cigarettes, and he said, "Suddenly those long evenings, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I suddenly realized that it's true. It was nothing to do with the research. All I can tell you, you know a truth when you hear it, and I know BS when I hear it, and I came out of that whole process crying and thinking, it's true." Leah Labresco has a slightly less dramatic story. Leah became quite well known in the blogging world for her work on a website called Patheos, and she was one of their bloggers for the Atheist Portal. She was raised a staunch atheist, and while she was an undergrad at Yale, her favorite pastime was to pick fights with the Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox students. I had to clarify at the 9 that she wasn't physically fighting them, she was debating with them. But she loved to pick fights with them. But over the course of her years at Yale, and in the years following, as she studied philosophy, she became interested in something called virtue ethics and objective morality. I still don't understand what that is. But she realized that for herself, intellectually, logically, she must believe. Her friends had been accusing her for some time of being a crypto-Catholic, and she finally came out as a Christian in one of her blog posts on June 19th, 2012. If you go and read that blog, I have to warn you, it's like chewing on gristle, unless you're really into Plato. But at the end of the blog, she says something that makes sense. She describes what it feels like coming to faith, to move from a place of atheism into faith in Jesus. And you get the flavor of that new beginning. She wrote, "It makes me so happy. It's the best possible time to be alive, when almost everything you thought you knew is wrong." Well, I love hearing stories of how people came to follow Jesus. I love Tony and Leah's story, although I cannot really relate to them at all. Unlike Tony, I really don't stay up past 10 a.m., and I certainly am not prone to 10 a.m. I got up at 6 a.m. this morning. That's my problem. 10 p.m. Nice to know you're paying attention. And I certainly am not prone to rum-fueled moments of epiphany. And then Leah, with her come-to-Jesus moment by way of virtue ethics. I don't even know what that means. But I think I like their stories almost precisely because I can't understand them. I can't really relate to them. Because the point is, although I don't get Tony and Leah, God does. And I love that God meets people just as they are. I love that Jesus met Tony through his beloved art at 2 a.m., that he meets Leah and her big brain through her books and her debates and her philosophizing. The second Sunday after Easter happens to be one of my favorite Sundays of the year because every year, without fail, we hear the story of Doubting Thomas. I noted that it's not really fair that Doubting Thomas is Doubting Thomas. We don't call Peter Denying Peter, or St. Mark, we don't call him Runaway Naked Mark. But somehow, Doubting Thomas is how we know him. But I love this story. I love that Jesus meets Thomas exactly where he's at in that moment. To me, it's an encounter that's so full of kindness and grace that it makes me glad to be a Christian all over again. And then to hear at the end of this passage, Jesus looking past the disciples who were in the room, looking past Thomas and talking to us, to those who came after, to those who believed without having seen, and to receive Jesus' blessing, it's worth getting up this morning. As I said, we call Doubting Thomas rather unfairly. The truth is, nobody believed that Jesus had risen from the dead on that first Sunday. The other disciples believed only when Jesus appeared to them in person, as he did in the upper room on that first Easter Sunday. But for whatever reason, we don't know, Thomas wasn't there that day. And so when the other disciples started exclaiming, "We have seen the risen Lord," Thomas said, "You expect me to believe that?" He said, "Unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers on those marks and likewise the wound in his side, I won't believe." Thomas needed to see Jesus with his own eyes. He needed to hear him with his own ears. He needed to touch his living body with his own hands. And what I think the wonder of this story is that Jesus shows up again 1 week later, and he meets Thomas and gives him what Thomas's heart was longing for, exactly what Thomas needs. And then again, Jesus responds not so much with a rebuke to Thomas as with that blessing to us. For everyone who comes to believe without that kind of benefit of a flesh and blood encounter with Jesus, Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Well, that's us Jesus is talking to, you and me, Thomas, and all the other people in the gospel. John, who wrote the gospel that we heard the reading from today, he was actually writing for people much like us. He was writing for people, the majority of whom had not encountered the risen Lord. And he goes on to explain that he wrote his gospel precisely for their sake and for ours, for those who came after. He said, "But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name." And so John wanted to show his readers and to show us that the gospel is good news for everyone. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter how you come to faith. And so John, in his gospel, he goes on to tell about all the different kinds of ways that people came to faith in Jesus. He tells us about a teacher, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who comes to meet Jesus in the middle of the night and who, like Leah, needs to understand. He needs to understand in his head what all this is about. And then John tells us about a foreign woman, an outsider, a bit of an outcast, who meets Jesus, and after a conversation about household chores and water and family life, becomes the first evangelist. And then John tells us stories about a man who's dramatically healed and through his powerful encounter decides to be a follower of Jesus. And John tells us about two sisters who, they just spent time with Jesus. And in the course of spending time with him, came to call him Rabbi and Lord. And so in story after story, John shows us that everyone, no matter where you come from in life, all of us are invited to follow Jesus. And I think John, far from looking down on Thomas, I actually think John is holding Thomas up as an example. It is even possible to believe and then go through a period of doubt and believe again. Even the deepest skeptic can come and follow Jesus. Just as Christ met all those people and more that John talks about in his gospel in ways that were true to who they are, so Jesus continues to meet us today, to meet Tony and Leah and you and me, to meet us exactly where we're at, because he knows us, and he gets us, and he loves us just as we are. So I do want to say, don't ever worry that your reasons for following Jesus don't seem profound enough or dramatic enough. It's wonderful if you're here this morning and you're here because you just grew into the faith of your childhood. Your parents taught you about Jesus, and over the course of your life, you grew into that faith. We're glad. That's a wonderful way to become a Christian. It's certainly our hope that the children being baptized here this day, that they will grow into their faith. And it is great if you're here and you came to faith later in life, any which way it happens. It's wonderful if you have really grand philosophical reasons for doing so, or whether it just was one day you were walking the dog or you came to church and something touched your heart and you began your spiritual journey. And it's wonderful if you came back to faith and you're here, and you came back for any number of different reasons, whether you left because of a crisis of faith or whether you left because you just simply fell out of the habit of believing. There are no right or wrong ways for coming to faith or coming back to faith. So don't be ashamed of your own story. Don't judge others for theirs. The important thing is, however Jesus meets you, whatever your story is, when you do encounter God, don't walk away. Don't walk away. Don't settle for a single moment of epiphany when you can have a lifetime of hope lived under the grace of Jesus Christ in the love of God and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Instead, be like Thomas, who in that moment of encounter with Jesus moved into the commitment. Thomas confessed, "My Lord and my God," and then he faithfully followed Jesus the remainder of his life. Let's pray.